the more we practice and the more we're out there, the more we were starting to mesh and come together and communicate a little bit better. So we still have a long way to go before we're completely smooth and everything's operating like it should, but we're moving in the right direction.
I mean, it's always fun to move around and have fun playing a different position, playing running back, playing receiver, playing a little bit of quarterback, so it's always fun.
This is Jaguars This Week. With the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Color analyst Jeff Lugeman, Jaguars.com senior writer John Osher, and Tony Boselli.
Now that's a cool cat.
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank.
Jaguars This Week begins right now.
You know, I'm reading this press release from last week on Boselli joining the broadcast. Where does it say that he no longer does Jaguars This Week?
I don't know.
I missed that somewhere? What's the story?
I don't know. I think he's traveling the world. You know, he got paid a big signing bonus and decided
jumps
to go
on
travel
board and
the world,
can't get with us. It's the story there. Sundays. Just plan your Sundays. All right. Good evening. Welcome to Jaguars This Week. Brian Sexton. You just heard Jeff Lugeman, who's across the table. John Osher from Jaguars.com is with us. And, of course, Joe Fortunato will chime in wherever he believes it is necessary. Occasionally, he might take your calls as well. 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. The transaction train just keeps a rolling, doesn't it? More former Patriots.
Yeah, well, and I don't think that's intentional.
No, they're just
grabbing
players.
But, I mean, you're talking about an elite team in the league, and when an elite team ends up letting a player go, then a team that wants to be an elite team is going to look very closely at those players. And so it makes sense, and obviously you're referring to Dedrick, the defensive tackle, Kyle Love, the other defensive tackle who had the diagnosis with type 2 diabetes. And then today, Jeremy Ebert. Am I pronouncing that right, John? Wide receiver, former Patriot. He was signed today, and then defensive tackle Jarris Pendleton was waived, which I figured that would be the position group to get a roster spot from because the defensive line is 17 deep.
It was until today. And I think what you're seeing is clearly when they came in January, they talked about this being a possibility. All the transactions they had in Seattle in 2010, it was going to be a revolving door. You really didn't get a chance to see it before OTAs began, but now once you're into the off season and there is some competition and they're able to look at guys, it's clear they're bringing in guys, seeing if it works, getting them out if it doesn't, and they're going to keep working, like Gus said, until they get something they feel like is right.
Thoughts on the big guys that they added? I mean, you had a chance to see them on Monday.
I think Kyle Love is a really good football player. You know, an undrafted guy, I believe, that that earned his way and started a lot of games for the Patriots, started alongside Vince Wilfork, but it wasn't like that Vince, you know, he made plays because of Vince. I mean, this is a guy that can stand on his own as a good football player. You know, so long as the type 2 diabetes can be managed, which they believe it can be, I think he's going to be just fine.
Well, and if not, what's the risk?
There's no risk.
At this point, you're building this thing.
And here's the beauty of it. You know, how competitive has that defensive tackle and really, in some regards, even pushed over into the defensive end position because of the move of Tyson Alualu out there, how competitive has that group become without the addition of any draft picks? Much more competitive than it was, you know, prior to the draft. So, I mean, that's a good thing. The one thing, though, that you'd like to see happen is to get Roy Miller back at practice. And Roy Miller has not participated. He's a free agent signed from Tampa. And he's a big man. Holy cow, he looks like he could bench press the planet. I mean, that's how big he is up top. And they say he's a rock in the middle. And I want to start to see him in action, but he's got a knee thing, I guess, that's kind of holding him back.
That's tendonitis, right?
I guess.
That's what we've heard.
And it is May, you know, so you don't have high expectations or expect him to fight through something. There's no reason to. He's a veteran guy. But it is amazing how competitive that group has become without any marquee free agent signings or with draft picks.
Well, I'd be surprised if it's over. I just see the defensive line. Right now it's clear with all these transactions that they don't know where the defensive line is, and this is very much in the middle of what's going to happen. I'd be surprised if we don't see this going on through training camp as guys get released. I'm not sure that the entire starting defense is on the roster yet.
No, probably not. And for Jarris Pendleton, I thought Jarris Pendleton looked like he gained 20, 25 pounds since last year. Then that's not a good thing when you're dealing with a new coaching staff and a new general manager to all of a sudden you're looking really big. And when Jarris is in shape, he's got some really natural gifts. And I don't
plus
think
he did
himself
wonder,
any favors.
Jeff, at age 30, even though he's a second-year guy, the whole theme of these guys is get better. I keep talking about the five-year arc. you know, you want to sign guys, as many as possible right now, who are going to be the core for the next several years. And you wonder if they didn't look at it and say, you know, at 30 years old, you just wonder how long that's going to be in that arc.
Well, and if you're send Derek Marks, you're going, wait a minute, I came here thinking that I was going to be okay, and all of a sudden send Derek Marks is uncomfortable.
Yep. Which is what they promised.
That's good. I mean, that's all good.
But I don't think any of these guys who signed, Jeff, you know, at the salary they signed, that obviously they didn't think that they were signing long-term, hey, we can't cut you type contracts. But you're right. Clearly, when you sign, you think you're going to be in that top three.
Well, and the arc that you referred to, John, applied with the release of Montel Owens last week.
Sure. Right?
You know, so I think Montel's got a lot of good football left in him, but that's the way it is.
Well, it's, you know, hard to sign. It's hard to keep, when you're trying to be young, it's hard to keep older players who are primarily special teams guys. And he was probably not going to be very high in the running backs rotation. And it's just hard when those GMs are looking at that depth chart that's on the wall. It's hard to justify that spot for a veteran special teams guy.
You know, the one position, though, that I really believe they got to look at and look at hard and often as much as they can. Because, I mean, Montel was running back. He carried the ball last year. You know, he carried the ball for over 4 yards a carry. I mean, it was a good number.
Mm-hmm.
And was a great utility type of player. I mean, special teams, fullback, tailback, pretty much anything you wanted Montel to do, he could do it. He was a football player. Well, hey, look, you're starting running back, Maurice Jones-Drew, is, you know, going down to South Florida, which has nothing to do with the point I'm bringing up here, but he's going down to South Florida to continue his rehab, and we're talking about a foot. We're talking about a foot for a running back.
He's iffy until he's not.
Absolutely. Right? So looking at that running back position, I would not be shocked or surprised if they are looking very hard at other options. Now, I'm not talking about replacing Maurice, but to have other options in case Maurice is not ready to go.
Is that a position, though, Jeff? It always strikes you that I think you're going to get guys released in camp who may be able to come in here quickly and play.
Could.
And it's not necessarily a position where it takes forever to learn an offense. So you would think if that's still an issue in camp that you would be able to get guys late in that situation.
You
but you
could,
still want to look now.
But here's the thing. How many guys do you have on the roster right now?
Right.
I mean, not a lot. I mean, to go into training camp with the numbers you have right now at that position, there is not a lot.
There's more numbers than you think, but it's not numbers that you're – I mean, there's a running back, DeLeon Eskridge. Jordan
Todman's been hurt.
And he's not playing, so there's not a lot of guys working through the rotation. I think the interesting thing on that front, Gus has talked quite a bit in the last couple of weeks about maybe using Lonnie Pryor in the one-back role as much as the fullback. So you wonder if that's something they're thinking about. But I agree with you, Jeff. At some point, you would think with Maurice being iffy until he's not, that you would have something going there.
That is one of the top two burning questions for this football team.
Well, with as many teams as were up against the cap when this season started, when this offseason started, pardon me, is the June 1st date relevant anymore for some of these teams? Will there be some players set free in the next couple of weeks for teams trying to create salary cap space to be able to sign their draft classes?
I think there'll be some, but I don't think it's nearly the date that it was 8-10 years ago.
Right.
No, it's become less of a date.
Yeah, it's not that important anymore because you can actually release a guy and then still give them that designation. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So what they've done is just given you
the rules. They tweaked
administrative.
The rules. Under the old rules, if you released a guy in April, the cap hit was immediately in that first year. And then if you released a guy after June 1st, then you could split the cap hit into 2 years. Well, all that did was hurt veteran guys. I mean, a guy a team would hold on to a guy until June 1st or June 2nd.
Right.
And then cut them then so they could spread the cap hit over 2 years. And now they can just release them and say, we're going to spread it out over two years.
Right. It became really unfair to the player.
All right. Any running backs in the Patriots stable that might come clear?
They got quite a few of them now. I mean, they've got quite a few of them. You know, but to me, that is, if I'm in personnel, that's one of my biggest concerns right now.
But it's a position you're supposed to be able to find. So if they keep looking for it, you can usually find veterans to come in and be serviceable.
Mm-hmm.
But if Maurice is going to
– But you want to get somebody in to learn the system.
Right, and you want better than serviceable if Maurice is iffy.
All right, let's take a break. Joe.
All right, BS. Hey, maybe we can find some running backs in the Jaguars Kids Club for the future. It does has its advantages if you join. Members get a Jags Kids Club kit. It includes a welcome letter, membership card, certificate, t-shirt, invites to exclusive Jaguars events, a birthday card from Jackson DeVille, and other really cool Jaguars prizes. For more info, just visit JaguarsKidsClub.com. Metro PCS call-in lines open. Do it now. I'll tell you all about it when we come back right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to Jaguars This Week. This portion of Jaguars This Week brought to you by Football Fanatics and Fanatics.com. Metro PCS call-in lines are open. 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Out of town, just throw an 800 in front of that. By the way, this is the last day for WOKV on 106.5 FM. So while you're in your car, just take that 106.5 button, dial it down to 104.5, hold the button for a couple seconds till it beeps. You know how to do it, and you'll be right there.
I should say I was just on 95. I was up in Charleston, and I came back. I could hear 104.5 north of Brunswick.
Nice.
I mean, screaming right in. So our signal's going to go way up there on the new 104.5. Glad to be there.
All right, and we'll Brian. Be in stereo.
Joe? Right. Stereo?
Yes.
So that means yes. Loggeman's on the left and I'm on the right. No, where's Vaselli come?
No, that would get ugly. But he will follow the ball, I think, left to right. We could do that. That would be cool.
All right. Well, we're going to have fun with it. There's no doubt. So you'll be able to be with us all season
good
long.
Good to see Denard Robinson running back. He gets the ball at the goal line. And as he's running, we can then have you go across.
You're losing all the listeners. There's no radio geeks in the audience.
He runs very fast, by the way. The last couple days of OTAs, he's still. And what's the deal with his shoes?
Didn't tie his shoes.
I mean, tell people about that, John. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, he's never tied his shoes. And we were on our way to an event. I was with Josh Evans and Jonathan Ciprin. I guess after the first couple of OTA practices. And they were in the back seat of the car, and they were like, he really doesn't tie his shoes out there. And they were just amazed that he could play and that he never did.
What's he wear? Size too small?
I believe so.
Okay.
I don't know the detail of that, but they were.
It looks like from my eyes, it looks like the laces are just kind of loose.
Yes.
Which to me, I think is insane.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking.
Ciprin and Evans did too.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking.
Couldn't believe it.
About putting your feet and your ankles at risk because your shoes are not tight. I think.
Right. That's
I think that is a big mistake. And
he's always done it, though.
I know. And the only other guy that I've ever been around that had something crazy like that when it came to shoes was the linebacker Mo Lewis, who you guys probably remember mm-hmm. with the New York Jets,
oh, yeah.
who delivered that crushing blow on Drew Bledsoe that enabled Tom Brady to get in the lineup and then the Patriots go and win a Super Bowl.
He's a Georgia guy, right, Mo Lewis?
He was a Georgia guy. Yep. And Mo never wore socks. Never. He was always – he would actually cut the foot part of the socks out, tape the sock to the lower part of his ankle, and stick his bare foot in the shoe. But he had his shoes tied. But he said, and I asked him, I said, what in the world do you do? He said, man, he said, I grew up as a kid. And he said, first of all, I was mostly barefoot. He said,
socks,
but when I
right.
wore shoes, I didn't wear socks. And he said, I've gotten used to it. But I do believe that Denard Robinson, somebody
yeah,
in the
yeah,
medical field, trainers, whatever – they've got to talk to him and get him to tighten them shoes. And then
he's awfully fast doing it his way, though, Jeff.
He is really fast. And maybe tightening the shoes or tying the shoes will help him be a more natural catcher.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the one thing that I think I notice watching him on the practice field. He's not a natural yeah. catcher yet, whether that be punt returns, kick returns, or passes. That is something, obviously, that's kind of new to him, having played quarterback, but it's mm-hmm. something he has got to concentrate on as much as he can in the time that he's allotted before they go to camp.
Interesting story along those lines. A very good friend of mine is the sports information director at Michigan and obviously worked with Denard very closely in that role. And I was talking to him about that very subject, and he said he has made dramatic strides since he really started focusing on that area in October and November. So the hope is obviously that he continues those. Mm-hmm. But it was definitely something that Denard knew he needed to work on and is focusing on. So you figure with that level athlete, he would be able to improve in that area.
And I love it when you hear him talk.
Mm-hmm.
You'll just love listening to him because I think he's probably a gifted leader. I mean, quarterbacks tend to be that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And everything that he says, it's like he spent a lot of time with the PR guy yep. that you know at Michigan. but I don't think that anything is manufactured.
No.
I think it's all genuine, and I think he's a guy that will work very hard at his craft and accept it going forward because he seems to be excited about it.
He seems to have, and this is what everybody knew about him coming out, he seems to have everything except a true position right now, and that's what they're going to keep. I mean, right now it's running back, but you get the idea he might work a little quarterback, and I think they want to try to figure out how they can use him. And as a fifth-round pick, that's a decent gamble to see if you can find that.
There's a lot of people
with that kind of talent
too that have high expectations for him, and my expectations are high just because he is an athlete, but I don't want to say they're real high.
Right.
I mean, he's making a positional switch a la Matt Jones, a la Isaiah Standback. You know, so, I mean, it's going to take some
time.
But
unlike Matt Jones, you didn't give up a first-round pick to take the gamble.
Right.
You know, it doesn't work. If you make that kind of a gamble two or three times and you hit once, well, then you've got a big-time talent, a big-time productive player. Maybe he will hit. But if he would happen not to, it's not the end of the world as a fifth-round pick.
But I bring him up because, you know, my comments in the last segment there talking about Maurice Jones-Drew. I mean, you know, is Denard Robinson a guy that could, you know, you'd feel comfortable about giving him the ball if Maurice's foot is not ready?
That'd be a tough thing to do. To be the feature back as a rookie would be tough.
Real hard.
Hey, let's grab Chris in Deerfield Beach before we break for news at the bottom of the hour. Chris, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Big fan. I'm calling today because I want to say maybe it was last year, there was a caller who called in and he had his story of how he fell in love with the Jags. And at work today, me and a couple of guys were talking about how we fell in love with our own team. And I remember that guy who called in last year, and it brought a smile to my face. So I said, you know what, I want to call in one day and give that story. And I just remembered the show was on today, so I called in. But so I wanted to share that with you guys. I was maybe 13 years old, and I loved the NFL, and I didn't really have a team. And I'm down in, you know, South Florida, and my father took me to his friend's house. And when I got there, he was all dressed in Dolphins uniform. And I'll tell you the year, it was 1999, and it was the playoffs. And he said, oh, man, you're about to see one of the greatest quarterbacks who ever played the game, and you're going to fall in love with the Dolphins today. And that day, I watched Freddie T and Jimmy Smith put up 130-something yards. And that day, man, I fell in love with the Jags, and great fan ever since then, and haven't missed a game. And very excited to be a Jag. Very few of them down here in South Florida, but very happy to represent down here.
Cool. Well, thanks for calling. We appreciate it.
Boy, I'm glad you watched that game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, what a game.
I got it on DVD, and every once in a blue moon on a slow season, I put it in and watch it.
And you didn't even mention Tony Brackens.
I didn't. And the defense was just crazy right out of the gate, too, in that game.
So, or Alvis Whitted in his amazing catch.
Oh, man. And any catch by Alvis Whitted, it was amazing.
Yeah. Stuck in his face.
Hands of stone, we used to call him.
And this year will be my first year, finally. I got some time off of work, and I will be headed to my first game this year, so I'm super excited.
Well, man, let us know when you're coming. Give us a heads up.
All right, well, see you guys down there.
Thank you.
You mentioned Alvis Whitted, Jeff, and we've all got our Alvis stories. The thing I remember is, remember how Tom would make him run sprints? And nobody has ever won sprints by as wide a margin and as easily as Alvis Whitted.
Yeah, he could run.
You know about a guy who could run and was beautiful to watch run.
Yeah.
I mean, he
was a sprinter at North Carolina State.
Yeah, he was put on this earth to run, not necessarily to catch passes.
And it was the complete opposite. You say it was beautiful to watch run, but it was nothing beautiful about watching Alvis try to catch the ball.
No.
By the way, speaking of the Dolphins, you know, all of a sudden now that Hallmark franchise down there seems to have a little black cloud hanging over their head, don't they? They didn't get the stadium issue passed, and you've got a new owner. He's been around a few years, and he's kind of grumbling about it.
They don't get the Super Bowl.
So everything that, you know, remember the early days around here, we always heard from the Dolphins fans, you're not the Dolphins. We had Darren. Remember Darren, the Dolphin fan? Called every show, you're not the Dolphins. Well, the Dolphins may not be the Dolphins right now.
No, they're in a tough shape. I mean, it's a tough economy down there to sell tickets right now.
You bet. All right, time for news here at the bottom of the hour. We'll come back with another 30 minutes of Jaguars this week here on WOKV, Joe.
All right, Brian. This time we talk to the ladies. For the first time, the Jaguars have created a club dedicated to the experience of the female fan. That's women aged 18 and older. It's the Jaguars Women's Club. This unique program is designed to connect with provide exclusive experiences for, and engage the Jags' female fans through updates and special offers and events and other benefits. Need more info? Just go to jaguars.com/womensclub. Jaguars This Week rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio. Hey, season ticket owners. The Jaguars Refer-A-Fan program is designed to put money in your pocket. You're invited to refer friends to become Jaguars multi-year season ticket owners in return for a cash referral fee. For more info, real easy to do. Just call 904-633-2000 or visit jaguars.com.
All right, rolling right along here. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, John Osher, Jaguars This Week in late May, getting towards Memorial Day weekend. Obviously, lots on the table. You can join us, 800-355-NFL1 or simply 355-6351. You guys had your annual Morton Steakhouse. No, not Morton Steakhouse.
It was Miracles. Well, it's the Children's Miracle Network Medicine and Miracles event.
Where do you do it now?
Well, we used to have it at Morton's before Morton's closed down.
I forgot that.
And so last year it got moved to the Crown Plaza. Okay. And then obviously Ruth Chris is the one who puts on the dog. And they do a fantastic job. And, you know, this thing first started, and you've been there, Brian, before, first started with really Mike Smith, the now head coach of the Atlanta Falcons.
Who does an event up in
very
Atlanta,
similar to it. You know, very similar to it, and it raises money for our pediatric hospitals in our area. And since Mike Smith went to Atlanta, linebackers coach Mark Duffner has carried the torch and has done a fantastic job. And last night was a great event. This is really, I think, a very unique event, and it used to be the only one of its kind in the league until Mike started the one in Atlanta. But you're talking about a dinner event that people can buy table, and your waiters consist of Gus Bradley, Jed Fish, David Caldwell, Blaine Gabbert, Eugene Monroe, Chad Henney.
Maurice was there last
Maurice
night.
Jones
Cecil
Drew,
Shorts.
Cecil yeah. Shorts. I mean, there was 15 players and then 10 coaches at this event last night. And what a great event. And then the star of the evening was Jake Westbury, who was the miracle child of the evening, and an incredible ordeal that he's overcome in the last 6 months after getting run over by a drunk driver and getting dragged across the pavement for 200 feet, and was in a medically induced coma for over, I think, 30 days or something like that, to where he could recover from road rash, multiple fractures, torn muscles, torn ligaments, I mean, you name it. But it was a great event, and kudos to the coaches and the players for making Jake Westbury the star last night. I mean, he walked out of there, he had lots of gifts, and including, you know, probably one of the coolest things I saw all night. First of all, Gus Bradley met him this week at the OTA, and then Gus spent some time with him last night, and all the players and coaches did. But there was a gentleman, and his name escapes me, but he was one of the customers there, one of the guys that has a table, and he's in the medical field here in Jacksonville. He bought our booth, Game Day Experience, last year, Brian. And he actually bought in the live auction a Jaguar player autographed football with the new logo on it and then gave it to Jake. I mean, that was really, really, really special. And it was a great night. Had a great time, great meal, great people, raised a lot of money.
And I was there, and I'd never been to the event before, but what was notable is we've all been to events where players are there, and they're there, and they're shaking hands or signing autographs. Players and the coaches were really into this event last night, and they were, you know, they were enthusiastic about it. They were going around to the different tables, and it was neat to see.
And they were literally, I mean, they had, you know, some staff of Ruth Chris that were, you know, the real waiters. But the players and the coaches were, you know, competing for tip tickets, you know. So they were basically, when people sat down, they didn't have any silverware. They didn't have any glasses. You know, they had to cough up some tip tickets in order to get utensils to eat. And so the players were competing for it.
Right.
And so, I mean, that's a lot of fun. And the players, I mean, when the players do this, I mean, a lot of players that I've been around wouldn't really get into that. They really you talk about competition.
Yeah, it was notable.
I mean, it was a competitive atmosphere for these players trying to be the guy that ended up winning the most or getting the most tip tickets. General Manager David Caldwell.
Really?
And there's a little controversy.
Honestly? He won honestly?
There's a little controversy over that.
He won, put it that way.
He won, but there's a little controversy over how he got his tickets. Maurice Jones-Drew was not very happy in a fun way.
Right.
in a fun way. But it,
let's not turn that into something it's not.
No, exactly, because that's, you know. But it was a lot of fun, and those two guys had a great time with it, and it raised a lot of money for our children's hospitals, you know, through Children's Miracle Network last night.
It's a really good time of the year for those guys to get out.
It is. It
even
is.
Though they do things on Tuesday in the season, it's a chance for people to really get a chance to know them.
And for whatever reason, the players and the coaches, I mean, it's not like they're uptight. Mm-mm. And feel like they're in a room full of Vito Stellinos and John Oshers. I mean, they relax. You know, and I'm not taking a shot at you, John, but
that
I mean,
doesn't sound like that.
You know, I can take it.
They just relax. You know, they relaxed and they had a great time. And you know, even though a guy had one table as a waiter, he'd be all over the room.
Yeah.
You know, so had a great time. And congratulations to Mark Duffner, because he has been the one that's taken that over since Mike Smith. And Mark Duffner takes it very seriously and does a great job of gathering the players and making the event what it is. And next year we look, you know, to make it even bigger.
All right. Let's do this, Joe. Let's take our break. We'll come back and we'll go around the National Football League and look what's happening here as we approach Memorial Day. You're listening to Jaguars This Week.
All right, Jaguars fans, you can be rewarded just for being social at the new Jaguars Social League. Sign up, sync your social media platforms at jaguars.com/social league, and you earn points every time you post something Jaguars, and then use those points to win great prizes, including a chance to win tickets to the Jaguars game in London. Jaguars This Week, final segment rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio. Are you getting your Jaguars rewards? Well, sign up at rewards.jaguars.com. You'll get cash back or credit for future season ticket purchases every time you shop online using the Jaguars Rewards website. That's rewards.jaguars.com.
All right, you mentioned about a half a dozen Jaguars were out at Mayport today. Reopening of the CPO Club, some remodeling done there on the beach, and they went out for the shrimp boils. So keep your eyes open, your head on a swivel. You will probably see them out and about. Very busy offseason, and clearly, the Jaguars' new administration wants as many players visible and in the community as possible.
Well, and tonight they had the Champions Club get-together here at the stadium with the draft picks and David Caldwell, the general manager, Mark Lampion, the team president. It's amazing. I don't want to say it's amazing, but, I mean, it really is, about how often players are getting out in the community doing different events. Because, you know, I always get this in that people say, you know, I remember back when you played, you guys were out there. And I said, look, that has not changed. It has not changed one bit. It's just the coverage of it has changed. You know, because in 95 and 96, when Tony Boselli or Brian Schwartz or Mark Brunell went anywhere, right, there was a camera following them.
Right. There was a newspaper reporter there. It's a little different now.
And now it's, you know,
there's not as much media working anymore either.
Huh?
There's not as much media working anymore.
No, you're right.
It's part of it. But it's also been around 15, 16 years, so it's tougher for the mainstream media to cover.
But if people need proof that the Jaguars are out in the community, sure, go to jaguars.com. Going to have weekly updates right on inside the, yes, Jaguars on Fridays about all the different community events the players do.
All right, some news around the NFL. I'm not sure it's a surprise to anyone now, but Roger Goodell confirmed today that they will indeed move the draft next year to mid-May.
That's great. That is really good.
Drag it out a little bit. So you're about as happy as everyone else, huh?
No, I mean, it's to me, it's a couple of weeks. I don't think it makes that big of a deal.
It's about the money.
Sure. Oh, yeah, you're getting into the May sweeps period. But isn't it also a precursor to moving the start of the regular season or the Super Bowl back?
It's about the money.
It's about 18 games. You right. know, there's another story out today that they're still evaluating removing two preseason games, making it an 18-game schedule. If that happens, then the Super Bowl goes back to President's Day weekend.
That's what they want.
Right, because then Monday is an off day, so folks can party harder.
Wouldn't that be perfect, though? I mean,
and then the draft's in mid-May.
A three-day weekend.
The dominoes are falling.
With President's Day on Monday, in which the Super Bowl would be the day before on Sunday every year.
Which is essentially a holiday anyway. That's
would it get any better than that? I mean, no. From a money standpoint, absolutely not. It would be like not only celebrating, you know, President's Day, but I mean the Super Bowl is kind of like a national holiday anyway. I mean, you look at any store's sales of television, mm-hmm, and food, and what are the biggest events of the year that they make? Super Bowl is
sure.
one of them.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. You walk
July 4th is obviously with everybody cooking out store. Is one of them. But, I mean, it's about the money.
Lots of anonymous GM scout types. No one on the record yet, but a lot of them unhappy with the decision.
They'll be on the record. So, I mean,
big deal.
Well, first of all, scouts and GMs never like any move like this. But at the same time, I can see their point. It does give you 3 more weeks of the draft, of the paralysis by analysis, of talking about it. It drags on anyway. So, the GMs are not going to like it, but as with most decisions that involve money, they're probably not going to get their way.
They're
not going to have any input on it at all. You know, because then if the owners are going to say, hey, well, here's what we can make by getting onto that weekend, and here's what we can do. Because, I mean, when you think about it, what else is happening in television and sports in that February window? Nothing. Nothing at all. And it would be an absolute ratings boon. In my opinion, I don't think they should expand the regular season. I think if they do anything, expand the playoff field as small as you can to get an extra week, and then you still have the week off prior to the Super Bowl, be fine.
I'd hate to see it go any further into September for the regular season starter. But to me, once they, you know, if you're not going to start on Labor Day weekend, which I used to love when I was a kid, we all did, then it doesn't matter that much how far you move it back.
But see, here's the thing. Labor Day, if you push it back a little bit from Labor Day, you get more eyes on televisions, right?
True.
Oh, no question.
That's what it's about.
I know exactly why they did it, but it's
– and you alleviate the heat in some places. Yeah, you back it up a little bit.
But it ain't about the heat. It's about the money.
It's always about the money. Here's some more news for you today. Brian Urlacher retires after 13 seasons, was released by the folks in Chicago, couldn't sign on anywhere, decides it's time to call it a career. Does he merit Hall of Fame consideration?
Absolutely.
Was he that good?
No doubt. He is along the same lines of Butkus, Mike Singletary, no question, and a great player and enforcer, and it helps him obviously with the legacy of the middle linebackers there in Chicago. But he's one of the most instinctive, natural middle linebackers that I've watched next to Ray Lewis in the last, 13 years.
Yeah, I have a tough time putting him quite with the other two from the Bears, but certainly in this era, him and Ray Lewis at the middle linebacker position seem to define it, which would get him in. Made a Super Bowl, made the Pro Bowl every year, and what people forget, I was talking to Bob Babich, who coached him for 7, 8, 9 years, is how athletic he was. He came into the league as a
safety.
Right, as a free safety. And also
safety in New Mexico.
Babich said he also played wide receiver when he was a kid. I mean, it was interesting to hear Bob talk about.
Was a punt returner in New Mexico at all?
Mm-hmm. Right,
as well. So.
Certainly a unique player that I'm not sure people projected when he came out for him to be as good as he turned out to be.
And see, a lot of people would probably agree with you in that. Boy, you can't put him in the same breath as Butkus, and you can't put him in the same breath of Mike Singletary. You know, I didn't watch a lot of Butkus. You know. I'm not that old.
Butkus was a great player on a really bad team.
He was a great player on a really bad team, but what was Brian Urlacher?
He was a really good player.
He was a
on
great
some really
player
good teams.
On some teams that were good at
pretty
times.
Good. Yeah.
And Mike Singletary, I'm not trying to downplay Mike Singletary because I think Mike Singletary was a fantastic player. Look at who Mike Singletary had playing around him. I mean, how good would Brian Urlacher have been if he had Richard Dent and Wilbur Marshall?
Right.
And
Dan Hampton,
William Refrigerator Perry, and Steve McMichael.
Ah. Yeah, pretty good front.
Yeah, you think?
Right.
Maybe the greatest front
Leslie
seven.
Leslie Frazier, Vikings coach, played cornerback for that team.
Yeah.
So good. I mean, obviously.
Couple more notes here. Crabtree, Michael Crabtree, the wide receiver for the San Francisco 49ers, tore his Achilles, has had surgery. I saw a number today that Colin Kaepernick's quarterback rating was north of 139 when throwing the ball to Michael Crabtree.
He really liked Crabtree, real comfortable with him. I think every quarterback has a blanket, a guy that's always going to be that go-to guy. I mean, Matt Ryan, he's got Tony Gonzalez, at least for another year in Atlanta, and he's been his go-to guy. And that's really a young quarterback's go-to guy. It'll be interesting to see how they recover from that. Now, they've got quite a stable of wide receivers.
Anquan Boldin they signed, who obviously becomes more key. I think what's interesting about Crabtree is there was a point in time where people thought he was going to be a washout. I mean, you talk about a guy who improved dramatically to go from not just being a productive player, but turning into a core productive type player. It'll be interesting to see how they recover from that.
I say this, though.
Yeah, but let me add this there, Johnny. Think about the quarterback play when Crabtree got to San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't all that good.
Well, he helped Alex Smith
get back. Can't catch the ball if you don't get the ball.
Right.
Should point out that they do have some depth, but Mario Manningham and Kyle Williams are both coming back from ACLs.
Mm-hmm.
So they might be trying to re-sign.
Anquan Boldin all of a sudden looks like a very good signing.
And a first-round pick from last year who didn't even get on the field, I don't think, last year.
No.
So do they bring Randy Moss back?
Well, that's the question that people are asking.
No.
I'm not sure why you would at this stage.
Charles Woodson signed with the Raiders. I was hoping that he would go to Denver. Go play for a contender. You know, if you're Charles Woodson, I mean, is the money that big?
Interesting to see him and Peyton in the same locker room, too.
Yeah. Why not?
How about this from Tampa? Darrell Revis is starting to run, and that's a big story because they gave up a lot to grab him.
I think that is going to end up being one of the great trades in NFL history. He is a fantastic player. Very few guys don't come back from a complete to the player they were before ACL reconstruction, especially on an isolated ACL tear, which is what it was for Darrell Revis. I don't see him
history
falling
ever?
Off at all.
Great trades ever.
Yeah.
Huh. All right.
I mean, you're talking about a Hall of Fame cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't argue that from to this point, if he continues on, he is a Hall of Fame corner.
True.
And how many trades involved Hall of Famers through the years?
Well,
I mean, there's some.
Right.
I'm not saying there's not a lot.
The Broncos Redskins, when they traded Portis for Champ Bailey, one of them. But I mean,
and Champ's Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
Will be.
So, point taken.
Saw Tom Coughlin on Sunday night for his J Fund, mm-hmm. and he had a big smile on his face. Did not today. Victor Cruz, not participating in their mini camp. And Hakeem Nicks, the other star receiver, not there either. And Tom's quote was, "I don't know. He should be here.
He's the coach.
He's the coach.
He's not the GM anymore. He can, he can say all he wants. What's the deal with Hakeem Nicks?
Doesn't look like there's anything. He just
not there.
Just not there. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a voluntary practice. Doesn't have to be there. Victor Cruz wants a long-term extension.
Tom always accepted that pretty well.
Oh, yeah. He was good. He was good that, you know, certain things had to be worked out.
How many times have you told this story about Desmond Howard coming out to practice in Stevens Point, Wisconsin without his pads on and Tom stopping him stone cold in the middle of the walkway saying, "What are you doing?" "Well, you know, veteran time off." No. No, we're practicing, right. And he sent Desmond back in to the locker room to get dressed.
Yeah, that's him. You know, the one thing that I'm shocked and have heard nothing about is Darryl Smith. You know, you're talking about what I believe is one of the top 25% linebackers in the mm-hmm. game, although he wasn't healthy until late last year. And on top of that, you've got a former defensive coordinator and a former head coach, Mike Smith in Atlanta, Jack Del Rio in Denver. I can't believe he hasn't signed with one of those two already. Or anybody else.
It's hard to believe.
Time will tell. Got a whole summer. See if Darrell lands.
If I'm a defensive coach or head coach, I'm taking a look at Darrell Smith.
That'll do it, guys. Thanks so much, Joe. We appreciate it. Have a great night and a safe Memorial Day weekend, everybody.